SFF Yeah, a podcast dedicated to all things science fiction fantasy. This is episode 173, and we are recording on March 14th. I'm Jen Northington, here with newly returned Sharifa Williams. Yay, Sharifa.
I'm back.
You're back. And today we are talking about science fiction fantasy for the little ones. It's, you know, a relevant theme these days.
Yeah, I was away because I was on family leave. I had my twin girls. I had Yay! Identical twins, and yeah, I am living my best life with them and just like getting used to being a new parent and getting reacclimated to the working life and everything like that. So it's been really fun and interesting and a whole journey. So I'm really glad to like be a little chill and talk about books that I can't wait to read to my girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Ooh. But we're also here today with some, you know, bittersweet news. That this is a sort of goodbye for now episode of SFF Yeah. After 173 episodes, Jen is going on to new adventures, and I am going to be figuring out what's next for SFF Yeah. I can't give you listeners out there an exact date of when the show will be back, but I hope to come up with something that is fun and great and also, importantly, sustainable for me.
Yes!
Because life is a different world now.
Yeah, reading time with twins is like a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, you know what? During leave, I definitely had delusions of grandeur about like... you know, reading while the baby slept and getting a whole bunch of my TBR checked off. I didn't read a single book.
Oh, no.
I think maybe that's a lie. I read like one book toward the end of leave, and it was definitely like, thank goodness for audiobooks and chores. But that was the only time, because I always have to keep one ear open for, you know, the baby. Right. So that's all to say, you know, life is different. And of course, it's going to be different without Jen, who has been just the best co-host for such a long time. I was like, I can't get emotional. We just like take a couple deep
Don't
breaths.
Do it to me, Sharifa. You are the best. We are collectively the best. It was, yeah.
And of course, we're still going to keep in touch and live our lives and see each other. But I'm so glad we got to do this and to enjoy ourselves with this podcast. And instead of news today, instead of a news segment, we're going to have like a little moment of reflection. Today's episode is going to be short and hopefully sweet. But we're going to talk a little bit about our time on this podcast. But yeah, that's us.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Let's see. Before we do our moment of reflections, etc., should we tell people about In the Club?
We should. So if you want to make your book club the best club, you should definitely sign up for our In the Club newsletter. In the Club is delivering recommendations for the best books to discuss in your book clubs. So if you are part of a book club, if you never know what to pick to read, I have a lot of stress about that when I have been in book clubs in the past. So if that's you, you should definitely check out In the Club. They talk about buzzy new releases, brilliant throwbacks. The books highlighted in the newsletter will drive your book club discussions. And we'll also share some book club friendly recipes. So foodies out there, definitely check it out. And there will also be interesting bookish updates from all over. And if you become a paid subscriber, you get more recommendations and also community features, which I know a lot of you love. So in other words, we'll keep you well met, well read, and well fed. So visit bookriot.com/in the club to sign up. Again, that's bookriot.com/in the club.
All right, a quick sponsor break and then some thoughts.
Today's episode is brought to you by Greenleaf Book Group. No summer vacation should be without a great read, and I don't know about you, but I am partial to mysteries and thrillers for my hot month reads. It's hot girl reading summer, always over here. And from the award-winning librettist of Legally Blonde, the musical, and the screenwriter of Freaky Friday, Heather Hawk, comes the page-turning psychological thriller, The Trouble with Drowning. So when author Eden Hart floats into Tucson's Antigone Books and all her dazzling perfection to give a reading, Kat, a struggling writer, can't help but compare herself. Thankfully, Kat's life starts to take on its own Eden-like glow when her literary future takes shape and she falls madly in love with Jacob. As demons from her past begin to surface, Kat's mental health craters, and this halcyon dream slips through her fingers. For the fastest-paced, slow burn you won't be able to put down, be sure to check out The Trouble with Drowning by Heather Hawk on Amazon or your retailer of choice. And thanks again to Greenleaf Book Group for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour. HeroQuest is a graphic novel that is the story of a genetically augmented metahuman named Hero who travels into the multiverse 400 years into the future to save Earth from a disaster it cannot avoid. It has everything from mutants to robots to zombies to aliens, witches, and more. It's a quest for 10 rings of tremendous power from 10 different worlds that will be needed to save our world from certain disaster. It's an epic journey that will require the hero named Hero to be cursed to save the lives of billions on Earth. It's a story of heroism, wonder, betrayal, and finally, revelation. This is the hero's journey. This is Hero's quest. So the story was imagined by the mind of Steve Aoki and written by New York Times bestselling author Jim Kruger and Steve Aoki. So make sure to check it out. And this episode comes thanks again to Steve Aoki's HeroQuest at your local bookstore or online at HeroQuest.com, and catch Steve live on the Heavenly Hell Tour.
All right.
Well, let's see. So, how do we do this without getting too mushy?
Oh, gosh. That's a big ask. Well, I definitely did want to take a moment to share some appreciation for our listeners. I know a lot of you, like, wrote in and, you know, shared pet pictures and book recommendations, helped us out with some topics over the years, and it's been really great to hear from all of you. I know some of you have followed us on the social medias. And yeah, we just appreciate you because we couldn't have done this show without you all. And I hope that you'll stick around to see what happens next with this show. And yeah, I don't know if you wanted to add anything to that, but...
Yeah, I just want to say, so while you were on leave and I was doing all the backlist episodes, yeah. I was like, oh God, what am I going to do?
Right.
And so I put out a call for listener questions so I could do recommendations. And that was so much fun. I actually did get through all of the ones that were sent in.
Awesome.
So that felt amazing. And it was just a joy to do, not just because I love recommending books to people specifically, but because so many of the recommendations mentioned, like getting turned on to a specific author or genre through the show, and like that just warms the cockles of my heart, you know, like it was very, it was lovely, it was like a nice moment of community. So
so nice.
Thank you to everybody who has been listening for so long and interacting with us in whatever way you've interacted with us. It's super appreciated.
Well, that actually brings me to one of my favorite moments from the show that I don't know why it just has staying power, but I think you kind of encapsulated it perfectly about just feeling a sense of community and also just realizing that people are actually listening, because I know when we started this show, it was kind of like I had very minimal experience with podcasting, and you know, I didn't really feel like anybody knew who I was or would bother to listen to me on a podcast. And then when we started it up, it felt like there was a little bit more cred. I mean, you were there, of course. And then there was this one specific moment on the show, which we've talked about before, where somebody wrote in talking about how they were annoyed that we talked about A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet by Becky Chambers so many times. And then turned out they read the book, loved it, and basically wrote in to let us know that whole story. And it was just like, I don't know why, it just like gave me the warm fuzzies. It was super amusing, but also like, oh my gosh, people actually take our recommendations, even when they're annoyed with us for constantly bringing up the same book. Like, they actually follow through and they read our recommendations. And that was like, oh my gosh, that's just so cool. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
No, that was a memorable email.
Yeah.
For sure. Love that one. Yeah. And the pet pictures in particular, you know, thank you to all of you who did that. That was the best. And then the other moment I was just thinking about was we're actually technically a professional podcast, so we could never win a Hugo, but we got put on the nomination list one year the mega spreadsheet of like, you know, here's who you should think about nominating. And I like lost my dang mind. I was like, somebody nominated us.
Yeah.
Like, we obviously didn't actually like get nominated for a Hugo.
But
somebody put us on a list of people they were considering nominating. And I like died and left my soul left my body, like fully was deceased. And then came back and was so excited. So like these moments of just like, oh right, people do actually like, we're not just shouting into the void or like talking to each other. I mean, we are doing those things, but it is those moments of connection are just so lovely. So thank you all for all of those.
Yeah, I second that 100%. Being on this show has done a lot for us. Like, has it changed the way you read SFF, or just in general, just being on this podcast and theming it up?
Yeah, I definitely read, well, you specifically, I read horror things that I would never have read if you hadn't been like, read this book. So you specifically have changed the amount of horror I've read, not by like a ton, but by like, you know, because it's such a small number, any increase is large statistically. So like,
hey, I'll take
statistically increase the amount of horror I've read. And then I think it just made me more aware, honestly. I don't think it's changed what I've read that much, actually.
Yeah.
Because I have been very able to like tailor the themes to what I wanted to read anyway.
Yeah, smart.
For the most part. But I do think it has made me a lot more aware of like, oh, I really, really love sci-fi, but I like pound for pound, I don't read as much of it as I read fantasy, which I think is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some of my favorite books of the last few years have all been sci-fi, but I just am not reading as much of it as I'm consuming fantasy, which I think is interesting to think about and to pay attention to. So I've been more deliberate about increasing the amount of SF I've read. And like speculative poetry, not sure I ever would have done that without the show. That was like, that's something I've discovered I love because of the show. So those are the ones that sticks out the most in my mind. What about you?
That's a good one. The poetry, I had not thought about that, but that was really enjoyable. But I was going to say the same about science fiction. Like, before the show, I really, and I think I admitted this like at the top of the show, because I was like, oh, wow, I have a lot of catching up to do, because I really did not read a lot of sci-fi. And because our episodes were formatted in such a way where it was like, you know, we talk about one fantasy book and one sci-fi book, usually, you know, some modifications yeah. here and there. But it really pressured me to think about my reading habits with SFF and actually incorporate more sci-fi into my reading as well. And the delusions I had over my leave were that I was specifically going to read a lot of, sci-fi. Obviously that didn't happen, but I also feel like I am more aware of that as a sort of, I just don't read that as much unless there is, I need to for a show, but I have also really, really enjoyed so many sci-fi books, and I have a lot of them still on my TBR that I do intend to get through. And also, it kind of forced me to read more books than I ever have. I am a slow and plodding but enjoyably so, I will say, reader. And I just had to read so much more for this show. And of course, sometimes it was really stressful. And sometimes it was like, I could look back at the year, my year of reading, and be really proud of the amount of books I got through. Because I feel like I was introduced to a lot more authors and a lot more books that I probably wouldn't have made the time for. And once you read certain books, of course, you're like, I can't believe I almost missed out on that experience because I probably would not have picked this up in my reading of like 12 books a year or something like that. So, so, you know, it made a huge impact on my reading life, I would say.
Yeah. So I feel like this question is hard for you right now to see, like, what will happen with your reading life next.
Yeah, it is really difficult because there's a part of me that's wondering how I'm going to do reading at all because it's, you know, and I know that's just feelings right now because I have very small kids who need a lot of attention and a lot of my time. That's not always how it's going to be. But it's weird because I have all these plans and TBR books that are, like I said, SFF focused, sci-fi focused. But I find myself reading a lot of like foodie books for some reason right now.
Oh.
I don't know why, because I think I don't have to like – it's like foodie memoirs, foodie not like long novel type reads. So I think that's like what my brain has space for. But I really do want to get back into SFF. I just have to like find a new way. And maybe it'll be figuring out how to incorporate more audiobooks that actually work with my new schedule, or maybe it's novellas, or really trying to establish a bedtime reading practice, which is something I have struggled with for years now. But maybe this will change me for the better, and I'll finally get that done. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm just thinking about your situation. It makes total sense to me that non-narrative stuff would work better for you.
Yeah.
But this could also be your time of like you were saying, short fiction or like journals, like Faya and like Lightspeed.
Ooh,
and like, you could do that, you know, because you can put those on a phone or, you know, it's not audio, but they're short.
Yeah.
So that could be interesting.
That's a really great idea. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny. My reading feels, I don't actually know that this is true, but it feels like it's already dramatically changed since I stopped at Book Riot full time, which happened in early February. Because, you know, I was still doing this show, but like we were kind of doing a grab bag of things while you were on leave. So like I really didn't have to read specifically for the show. So I was just like, I'm going wild. Yeah. But did I actually go wild? Like, no. I think I basically, I'm a rereader. Like, it was just a habit I started growing up because there were just never enough books, new books to read. Like,
yeah.
I would go to the library, I would go to the bookstore, and I would run out of books. So I would just reread the ones I had. Like, that's what I did. And I really love rereading. And there's certain series that I read over and over and over again. And like leaning into that a little bit, I finally did my Nine Fox Gambit series reread.
Ooh.
The Machineries of Empire by Yoon Ha-Lee. I did it. I finally reread
all
three of those. Yeah. And it was so satisfying. And so, like, you know, N.K. Jemisin's books are at the top of my reread list. So probably I will let myself lean harder into rereading, because it's very hard to let yourself reread when you're responsible for finding new titles to talk about.
Right.
Like, you can't just lean into the old stuff. And I don't want to only ever reread, obviously, but it feels like a treat to get to revisit some of the books that have, like, really broken my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like, what did I miss earlier? Because they're just, especially in, you know, Jemisin and Yoon Ha-Lee's works, there's so many layers of things.
Oh, yeah.
So getting to go in and revisit and see more layers is pretty exciting. So, yeah, that's what I'm mostly thinking about. I've also developed a serious crochet obsession.
Yes! I love this.
And I've mostly... I love this for me, too. I'm not going to lie. And I have mostly been doing it while I watch, like, terrible reality TV. But speaking of rereading, I got a copy of Tehanu by Ursula Le Guin on audio.
Oh.
Just to see. I was really sick. And I was like, I was like, I can't even really crochet. I'm lying here, but I just need something to be on, like, doing something for my brain. And so I was listening to Tehanu, and I was like, oh, this could be the start of me doing audio. Like, this could be the start.
Yes.
Which I have not previously been able to do. So we'll see. I definitely think it will be mostly rereading on audio, because, like I said, I don't absorb audio only information that great. But if
Perfect.
I already know the plot, like NBD. So, and if I have something to do with my eyes and my hands, because I don't know what to do with myself, and I'm not like a chores audio person, because then I'll be focusing on the chores and not the audio. Like, I just don't know how to do it. So, but crochet might turn into me actually consuming audiobooks. So we'll see.
This is awesome. I mean, I do also endorse the doing things while watching terrible reality TV.
Yes,
because
yeah.
I also have been known to do such things, and I have no shame, and nobody should.
No, that's right. The heart wants what it wants.
It does. It does indeed. I am excited for your possible audiobook journey, because I also very much love audiobooks.
Yeah.
It's funny because the one book I did read, I can't remember because, you know, time is meaningless, if it was right at the end of leave or right when I got back to work. But the first book I listened to was Rosemary's Baby by Ira
Levin. Oh, yes, I saw that on your Instagram.
Yeah. I was like, what is wrong with me? I truly did not even consider what I was doing in that moment. But apparently it just struck my fancy. Like, this is the book I'm going to read. And it was great.
Yeah.
So.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
I have very similar feelings to you about the movie. It was like a touch point for me a long time ago, and now I can't rewatch it. But now I'm going to have to read the book. So again, you influence me in the hard direction.
I mean, thankfully, this one has no body horror. Whoa.
Phew.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's really more of a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. Yeah. I will not go down that rabbit hole, but yeah, I do recommend it if you like the movie, but like us, cannot watch that movie again.
Yeah.
Right. Well, is there anything else you want to say, or should we hear from our next sponsor?
I can't. I don't want to go too far into the field. So I think I'm good. I think I'm
Me
good.
Me too. Okay. Let's hear from a sponsor then, and we'll come back with some books for little ones.
Today's episode is brought to you by Amazon Publishing. So I got a story with a little Old West debauchery, if you want to get a little messy. So there is a city steeped in the Old West mess. And in the city, a reporter is following every lead to a dangerous place, one that could bring him glory and fame or end his life. New York Times bestselling author Robert Dugoni is back with a gripping new thriller of corruption, vice, and murder set in Depression-era Seattle. It's about a reporter covering a hot murder trial who soon learns nothing is what it seems. The story could make his career if he lives to write about it. You can learn more at amazon.com/A Killing on the Hill. So yes, A Killing on the Hill by Robert Dugoni is what you need to pick up if you are into some Depression era danger in Seattle. It's a city of big dreams and dark ambitions, and this reporter gets caught up in the muck. So make sure to check it out. And thanks again to Amazon Publishing for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Song of the Silk's Realms by Judy I. Lin. Xu Wei is a talented young musician who was orphaned at a young age. Her sole family is a kindly uncle, but then her uncle is killed, and she is, of course, devastated. With no family and no patron, Xu Wei is facing the possibility of a lifetime of servitude playing the qin. Then one night, she is unexpectedly called to perform for the enigmatic Duke Meng. He surprises Xu Wei further with an irresistible offer. Serve as a musician in residence at his manor for 1 year, and he'll set her free of her indenture. But the Duke's motives become increasingly more sus when he and Xu Wei barely survive an attack by a nightmarish monster. It's like, what? What's going on here? So this book is a sweeping epic romantasy that follows a talented young musician who is swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke. And who doesn't want to be swept away to the celestial realm by an enigmatic young duke? She's living all our dreams, honestly. Make sure to check out the new book. And thanks again to Song of the Six Realms by Judy I. Lin for sponsoring this episode.
All right. Do you want to kick us off, Jen?
Yeah.
I can never remember how we organize. Now that we're on our final episode together, I have forgotten how this works. So I'm just volunteering you.
I didn't update the agenda with, we usually have cues in the agenda, and I apparently don't remember how this works either, even though
after this many episodes, we're like, oh, I know. If it's not written down, we don't know.
It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Yep. That's correct. But I did come up with this theme. I was thinking about, yeah, like, okay, Sharifa's back, but like, you know, what can we do that's like lightweight and fun? And I want to tell a little story,
yeah,
about my experience with children's books. So I was a bookseller, like, right out of college. But I mostly worked in the sections that I, like, read, right? Which was, like, you know, sci-fi and fantasy, honestly. And, like, literary fiction, but whatever. You know, I would shelf whatever. But, like, if people were looking for recommendations, I mostly was only recommending what I knew. But, like, if you are at a halfway decent bookstore, they try to break you of that habit pretty quick because you can't be... you can't only be good in one section if you're going to be helping customers, because customers could be anywhere in the store. But there was definitely like a divide between the adult book section and the kids book section. Like, we had the kids booksellers and then there was everybody else. And so if somebody wanted a kids book recommendation, you found a kids bookseller and passed them off. And that continued for me up until I started working at the King's English, which was not because we didn't have kids booksellers, but because I was the event manager and my office was off of the children's room. And so I would end up covering the room when they went on break. And I was just like surrounded by, you know, board books, picture books, middle grade, YA. And I started reading them on my lunch break. And like, I fell in love and I became like actually like a go-to person for when you couldn't find a children's bookseller, and that continued to the other bookstores that I worked for. And when I was at Word, I would encourage people, because we were too small. We didn't have dedicated children's booksellers at Word. There was like four of us at most, like mostly.
Wow.
Actually, sometimes you might be the only one in the store. Like, it was a small store, so you would just be you. So you had to be able to recommend anywhere in the store. And so I would encourage people, like, you know, come in, like, open the store, and then, like, while you're waiting for somebody, read a picture book. Like, just you'll read it in 5 minutes. Like, just pull it off and read it, and then you will have one in your arsenal, and just keep doing that as you have time. and you'll get really good at recommending over there. And it works. Like, it works great. Like, if this is something that you need in your life, like, I highly recommend, if you're in a bookstore, just like go read a picture book. It's awesome. So I developed this huge love of kids' books. And actually, the very first like things I ever wrote for Book Riot were pairing children's books with grown-up books in genre specifically. So I really like, and then I, you know, I have nieces and nephews and like, you know, like to pick out books for them and have become like very, you know, competent. Although less so now that I have not in the bookstore anymore. Like, I'm not just like exposed to the new stuff all the time. So this was actually really fun for me to put together because I could put some of my old favorites and some new ones that I saw mm-hmm. recently that I'm really excited about. So I was torn though, because I initially I was like SFF for babies, but that's like, that's board books only,
right?
And like, you can't fit so much plot into a board book.
That was tough, I will admit.
I know. So I actually leaned way heavier into picture books than I thought I was going to. But I'm gonna start with my two shout outs, which are like, I have like full recommendations, but I'm gonna do two quick shout outs.
Okay.
So my board book shout out is to this amazing series of cryptid baby books by Elias Sparks with Meg Hunt and Zoe Perisco. And there's like Alien Baby and Mothman Baby and Krampus Baby and Nessie Baby, you know, Yeti Baby. Like, it's all of these cryptids, and they're Lift the Flap board books, which is so, like, kids love. I know, they're so fun. And the illustrations, which are either by Meg Hunt or Zoe Perisco, are like fantastic. Like, I just love that this series exists, you know, because it's never too early to introduce children to cryptids. Am I right? Like,
you are right.
So I just am delighted that that like exists in the world, and that's something you can, you know, buy and gift and enjoy for yourself. And then my other shout out, which I can't use as a full rec because I know her too well, is Preeti Chibber did a picture book called A Jedi You Will Be, illustrated by Mike Diaz. And it is the picture book version of Luke training with Yoda. It is... Ugh. Amazing. It's so sweet. Like, I love Preeti, and we're super close, but like, also this, like, if you are a Star Wars person and you want to like indoctrinate your children early, like, this is so, it's so good for that. There's so many Star Wars kids books, side note. Like, you could do like a whole series just on Star Wars kids books and not run out of anything for like many episodes. But so those are my two quick shout outs. I'm cheating a lot in this episode, in case you could not tell.
It's the last episode. What would an episode be without cheating by you and sometimes me? But it's the best kind of cheating.
Truly. I mean, have you like read kids' books before now? I mean, you're not, but your babies are baby babies, so they're not reading anyway. Like, you're not reading to them probably.
Well, that's actually me being me. We did try when we were in the NICU for a while with our babies. They were preemies, yeah. Twins tend to be. And so we mm-hmm. were actually, we started to read The Princess Bride. Which we realized we did not like as much as the
movie. Oh, no.
Sorry.
It is a very different book than the movie.
It is. And I had fond memories of reading it in my childhood. But now we are attempting, and not doing a great job, but attempting to read The Neverending Story. But we also have bought so many books for them already. It is ridiculous. Like, we've read a few of them aloud, because there really is no too early to read to
that's
kids.
True.
And I am not one of those people who's like, it has to be, you know, a board book necessarily. And this topic definitely got me thinking about all of the great books I used to love. Definitely more picture books, the same as you, that I used to love. So half of my picks are, maybe a little bit more than half, are books I read. And then two of them are books on my list that I discovered just because I had to look up books for this episode. And I was like, there are so many great books out there. How am I going to contain myself now that I have two other people to buy books for? It's going to be ridiculous. I have to watch my budget is what I'm saying. So I was really excited about this. And I guess I can start out with a shout out to, since we're going in that direction, and because I love this book so much, and I know a lot of people have read and love Where the Wild Things Are by Maurice Sendak.
Yeah.
I was just like, what other book has sparked the imagination of so many children than this book? I feel like I have not met many people who haven't read this book or had really vivid memories of reading this book. And I just like, I hadn't thought about it in a really long time, even though I know there was like an adaptation that I actually never watched about Where the Wild Things Are, inspired by it. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this is a great one. And I have to check if we already have it, because again, we bought so many books, I don't remember which ones we did get or which ones we still have to get. But yeah, I just loved the idea of, you know, children are chaos, as I am remembering and realizing now with two very small babies. They have a lot of chaos in their hearts, and just a story that kind of like encapsulates that chaos in such a wonderful, endearing way speaks to my soul, and I think is going to be really helpful in my future. I know at least one of the girls is going to be very mischievous, and I feel like this is going to be a good read for her. So I'm really excited to revisit Where the Wild Things Are, and the illustrations, which just feel like a party. So I had to mention that and give it a shout out, even though I knew that so many people have probably heard of, definitely heard of, probably read this book. It's so good.
No, that's an all-time classic. Yeah. That's a great one. I just think it's funny because when you were pregnant, I was referring to them as Double and Trouble.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you figured out which one is Trouble.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We've got our little Zora, who is she of the side eye and the sly grin. She is going to be, she's going to be a little chaotic, and I love it.
I love it.
Yeah.
Yes. Love that for you. Let's see. Okay, so my first full rec is a sci-fi-ish rec. It is Boy and Bot by Amy Dyckman with Dan Yaccarino. I remember when this came in, I was at Word, and it was one of the like new arrivals that I was like, well, obviously I must read this. It has a robot.
Yes.
And I feel like it is a little bit the picture book equivalent of the Becky Chambers, the robot and the series.
Yeah.
Yes.
Monk and Robot.
Yeah. Monk and Robot. Thank you. So this is Boy and Robot instead of Monk and Robot.
Awesome.
But like, they meet in the woods. They have a good time playing. But then Bot turns off and Boy is like, oh, he's sick. I have to, you know, how do I fix him? And it's just a really sweet story about like being friends and like, how do you help your friend when they like check out? And it's just so... Ugh, I just love it. And the illustrations are great. Dan Yaccarino is like a, you know, very good illustrator. And Amy Dyckman has such a way with narrative. And I just, you know, this book is like one of my, I hand sold the bejesus out of this. Like anybody who came in for anything, I was like, have you, what about Boy and Bot? Like, have you seen this one yet? So I do really love it. And yeah, if you want to like get those Becky Chambers vibes in early, I feel like it's a solid option for that.
I absolutely do want to get those from a children's book. I'll be picking that one up. Well, mine is, my first actual pick is one of my, it was a weird childhood favorite. It was definitely my sister's favorite book, The Rainbow Goblins by Ulrico. And this is a, the illustrations do not necessarily bring to mind children's book illustrations. It really does look like just straight up art. But it's like surreal and weird, and I never forgot this book after childhood. It was just one of those books that stayed with you because the illustrations were so vivid and the colors were just so, there were so many colors, as you can imagine, from a book called The Rainbow Goblins. And it was also like, upon later reflection, you know, it was also a story about not being greedy with the natural world, because the story is about these goblins that basically try to steal the rainbow. The rainbow's so beautiful, they want it for themselves, and they go about trying to, you know, steal it from the skies. And the whole point of the story, you know, is it, it's sort of a, is about why rainbows don't touch the ground. You know, you can't find the end of the rainbow, but it's such an interesting telling of that. It's such a cool and imaginative and strange way to talk about the natural world, and, you know, especially in light of climate stuff and how humans have treated this planet. Like, it just struck me in a way it didn't, I don't think I realized, because I just read this on my own. Nobody was like giving me the sort of book club notes as a child about like, let's think about this story and what does it mean? But now I feel like I'm going to read this to the girls and have some little conversations about it. And also hopefully not give them nightmares with the goblins, because they're super creepy. I will be honest. Right. They're super creepy.
Yeah. I love that. All right. My next one is, I think of it as speculative. It is Lift by Min Lay and Dan Santat, who are both ridiculously talented, have worked together on multiple things, have worked in different like genres and for different age groups. Like, if you are not familiar with their work, like, do yourself a favor and do that, because so good. Like, award-winning duo. And I love this one. I love their picture books. Dan Santat in particular was one that I was recommending regularly. And when I saw that this had come out, I was just like, favorite, immediate, like instant favorite. And I love that it does speculative fiction, but also some sibling rivalry work.
Oh.
So it's about Iris, who lives in an apartment building, and it is her job to press the elevator buttons. Like, that's her job. She does the thing. But then, you know, she gets a little brother, and then he starts to push the buttons, and everything is terrible forever. Like, oh no. This is like, her job is gone. Unacceptable. How dare anybody else push the buttons in the elevator? And then a new button appears, and it lets her go off exploring all on her own, and leads to some adventures that may or may not, she has to think about whether or not, you know, she wants to include her little brother in those adventures. The art is so lush. The characterization is so great. Like, you look at Iris's like face the first time her little brother pushes the button, and you're like, yep, I remember that. Like, if you have siblings, it's immediately like, oh yes, I feel that.
Yep.
And it's just like a, you know, a great, amazing, imaginative story. And I love also, I don't feel like I read books about kids who lived in apartments when I was
a kid. Yeah, that's a good
And
point.
Like, when you're in New York, you know, I will never forget, actually, one of our regular customers in the Brooklyn store had kids. And I remember them coming in one day. They were moving to a different apartment. And the little girl was like, there are stairs inside our house now. And, you know, it was like the biggest, because, like, you know, most apartments are one level. Yeah. They don't have stairs inside your house. And she was just like so like gobsmacked that there were going to be stairs inside of her house. So I just love that this is like, it's a great family story that doesn't take place in a house, which is a lot of people's experience. So that made me happy too. So again, that's Lift by Min Lay and Dan Santot.
Love a sibling book. Well, my next one is one that I have seen on more adult bookshelves than on kids' bookshelves because it's one of those books that just, I think, speaks to all ages. It's What Do You Do with an Idea by Kobi Yamada and Mae Besom. And I say this also because Brian, my husband, had this book before we had kids. It was a gift from his parents to him. And it's a great book, especially for people who are creative or have a lot of aspirations. And, you know, of course, obviously for kids who, you know, might have an idea, might want to do something with their ideas, and might be exploring their own creativity and have to inevitably face critiques or other people's opinions about, you know, their whatever it is, the product of their imaginations. And it's so beautifully illustrated, this book, and it really tackles this big concept, like, what do you do with an idea and what happens when you don't have a lot of confidence in it and other people tell you that it's not that great an idea? Like, what do you do about that? But it captures that concept in a very simple story that I think is relatable and accessible for just about anybody. So I feel like we're going to revisit this one a lot. I will probably revisit it in my own time, just reading it for myself. but I highly recommend it, whether or not you have kids. Like, I think that this is a great one for any age. And again, so beautifully done.
Love that. I will have to look that up.
Yeah.
All right. So you might have guessed, because it's me, that we were not getting out of here without a King Arthur reference. So my next pick, another one that I hand-sold the bejesus out of when I was a bookseller, is King Arthur's Very Great Grandson by Kenneth Craigle. I was obsessed with this when it came into the book. I was like, oh my goodness, like the best book ever. Henry Alfred Grummerson is the, like, many, 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 many greats grandson of King Arthur. And he, like, has this very real sense of the legacy. He's like, oh yeah. And now that he's six, you know, when you're six, you have to go out on adventures. Like, that's obviously what happens, right? Is like, you put on your armor and you get on your donkey and you go have adventures and fight monsters. And he thinks this is what he's going to do. And he meets a lot of monsters, but none of it goes the way he thought it was going to. And I love this book. I love it so, so much. And that is where I will leave it. Like, I'm just full of love for the take on what it means to, like, have an adventure that Craigle gives us with this one. So again, that's King Arthur's Very Great Grandson.
Awesome. Well, this kind of it doesn't really fall into that vein. My next pick is The Truth About Dragons, and it's written by Julie Leung and illustrated by Hannah Cha. And, you know, I have multicultural girls. They will have a lot of different backgrounds and ethnicities and identities to explore, and I've been thinking a lot about, you know, how to introduce them to the various cultures they come from. So I was really excited to hear about this book, which I have not read yet and is on my list, but it's a book that celebrates biracial identity. And it really does it in an imaginative and wonderful way. It basically is about a child who is being told a bedtime story, and he goes on quests into two forests, and it's this exploration and journey around his two identities, his biracial identities, and it's kind of a meeting of East and West mythologies. And of course, you know, we love mythology and different ways of, you know, transforming and reshaping mythology. So I thought that this was such a creative and wonderful way to help a very small child navigate their identity and talk about being biracial. So I'm really excited to read this one with the girls and to just pick it up for myself and enjoy the illustrations, which, judging from the cover, look amazing. And also, it's a Caldecott Honor winner, so you know it's going to be amazing. It was a winner of the Asian Pacific American Award for Literature. Like, it's pretty vetted, so I think this is going to be wonderful, and yeah, can't wait to get into it.
I love that. I might have to get that for my niece. All right, so my final but not least pick is If Your Babysitter is a Bruja by Anna Sequeira and Irena Freitas. And this was recommended by a local indie, and it is so fun. I mean, I do remember getting very tired of Halloween books. Like, Room on the Broom, there's only so many times you can read Room on the Broom without, like, wanting to, you know, walk into the ocean. So if you're me,
no,
a lot of story times
that
around Halloween involved Room on the Broom, and I was like, ugh. But so it was really refreshing to see both, like, a new, you know, as you were talking about, like, you know, multicultural, like, getting a new culture represented in a picture book, and also, like, a new Halloween read. And this one is so fun because I love the sort of tension between the words and the illustrations, because the words make it sound scary, but the illustrations are anything but. So it's like, oh no, like, the Bruja, she, like, her cat is coming to get you, and it's like the sweetest cat, like, loving on you. So, like, the words are one thing and the pictures are another. And I love that that's, like, actually, I think, a really lovely introduction to horror in a way. Like, if you think about it, it's like, oh, it sounds scary, but it's not. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't have to be. Like, it, like, you can play a little bit with that feeling of fright without it actually being scary, which I think is a great way to, like, get kids to, you know, I could have used that as a coping mechanism when I was little, is I guess what I want to say. I didn't get that kind of play or tension between something being scary but also maybe not scary or fun. And I really feel like I could have used that. and also, like I said, just like, it's beautiful. I love the style. It's, like, very round is the only word I can think. Like, it's, like, very, like, circle-y based.
I think I know what you mean.
It very pleasing. Do you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, that roundy kind of illustration style. But it's just so fun. And I was so grateful to the local indie for highlighting it so that I had it on my list. So again, that's If Your Babysitter is a Bruja by Anna Sequeira and Irena Freitas.
That's so funny, because I'm pretty sure that this next pick of mine is also very round. It's Stella's Stellar Hair by Yesenia Moises. And I don't know what Zora and Mila's hair is going to be like. I only recently learned that babies lose all of their hair at some point, a lot of them, and just go bald. So I don't know what, if they're going to have curly hair like mine or what, but again, multiracial babies, and I really want to, like, introduce them to more stories like this one, which looks so wonderful. It is, as you might imagine, about hair and Black girl magic, and it is a story where Stella explores the solar system on her hoverboard, but really what it
like
is...
Like you do.
Yeah, as you do. Really what it is her exploring different types of black hair. And she does this courtesy of her aunties, which is fabulous because, you know, there are going to be a lot of aunties in my daughter's lives. So I love this concept, and it seems like a really fun book where, you know, kids get to just take delight and take joy in their hair and having curly hair and being able to have different hairdos that maybe were not represented as much, especially back in my day. Like, I'm really happy that there are more books like this and there are more conversations about how wonderful black hair is. So I thought that this looked fabulous, and I do enjoy that round style illustration because it's very cutesy to me. So I'm really looking forward to picking this one up and enjoying it. And I realize that I have not been saying the title of the books again because rusty, but that is Stella's Stellar Hair by Yesenia Moises.
You did great.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It's been a minute. My brain is very tired.
Well, I was going to say, you have twins. Like, if you've been on leave, that's a lot to be coming back from. So,
yeah.
Well, that's our show. Thank you all, as always, for everything. I'm going to miss this. I'm not going to lie.
I know. I'm going to miss this, too. I'm going to miss, like, our little bi-weekly hangouts, and we'll definitely continue to talk because that would be even sadder episode.
That's not optional,
but we don't have to do reading for our chats.
Well, I was just gonna say, I'm not gonna miss the chats. I am gonna miss the chats. I'm not gonna miss reading on demand. I've been reading on demand for 20 years. Literally 20 years of my life, and I just am like, what will it be like to read whatever the hell I want whenever the hell I want to read it? Like, What magical land will this be?
Well, I'm excited to see what you do end up reading. I will forever be taking recommendations from you. And whatever your next journey will be, I'm excited to see that as well.
Same, friend. I know. I look forward to seeing what happens with the show.
Yeah.
All right. So for the time being, this is it. SFFES, sound edited by Caitlin Brame. So many thanks to her for making us sound great each and every episode. For more recommendations, whether the show is on or not, go to Book Riot, bookriot.com. And you can find our other podcasts at bookriot.com/listen. The email inbox will still exist, but probably will not be regularly monitored. So thank you for all of the emails you have sent. Where to find us? Let's see. So I have been dipping my toe back into social. You can find me. I know. I go through phases. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. Now I'm just owning that I go through phases now. Like, nothing is forever in terms of social media. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram as I am Jen IRL, and that's JENNIRL. And you can find me as Jen IRL on Litzy, Blue Sky, and Tumblr. And I will continue podcasting over at Tarvalin or Bust with Preeti Chibber, which is a big Wheel of Time extravaganza. Yeah. What about you?
You can find me on Instagram. I'll be posting probably a lot of baby stuff for a while. but you can find me at S. Zainab Williams. That's S-Z-A-I-N-A-B Williams. And until next time. We'll be right back.